Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on June 8th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I think everyone has noticed, if you haven't noticed, SouthBayByJackie.com has had a facelift.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We have a new logo and a slightly new look to the website. And we made some changes. You know, we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary, so we decided it was time for a facelift.
Yes. Yes. And it really is a very dynamic logo. I really like it, Jackie.
I like it. I think it's groovy.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's so many things that are going to be happening this summer. It's going to be a great summer, and obviously,
I'm being bombarded with emails for the upcoming summer concerts and movies in the park and all sorts of fun things, concerts and festivals. Yeah, it's that time of year.
It is, and all of these things are firing on all cylinders. But we want to step back a moment and really talk about the natural environment that we live in here in the South Bay. I mean, obviously the ocean is the key to that, but it's not just the ocean. It's the parks and the beaches and the promenades and how well they're maintained and treated by it's probably millions of residents of all of Southern California that visit these places in a year. And we're going to get a chance to talk about that. I'm excited. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Jeff Ginsburg, Joan Irvine, and Ann Dalkey from the community group Keep the Esplanade Beautiful. Jeff Ginsburg is the District 1 Council Member for the City of Redondo Beach. He is a licensed real estate broker and operates his own property management firm located in Riviera Village. Jeff grew up in Rancho Palos Verdes, where he attended school and eventually raised his family. He was a member of the class of 2006 Redondo Beach Leadership Program and served on the Riviera Village Business Improvement District Advisory Board for nearly 10 years. Jeff was a Redondo Beach Public Works Commissioner and took the lead on the Public Works Commission to support going after a grant program, which allows the city to replace over 1,200 streetlights so far with new and energy-efficient LED fixtures. Now, Ann Dalkey has lived in Redondo Beach for over 30 years. As a marine biologist for the City of Los Angeles' Environmental Monitoring Division, Ann noticed during monitoring cruises along the coast that the coastline in the South Bay was predominantly concrete, in contrast to the much greener-looking coastline north of Santa Monica. As a regular visitor to the Esplanade, she also noticed that the beach bluffs were covered with ice plant, a native plant from South America. Now, as an ecologist, Ann realized that improvements were needed that could benefit people that visit the Esplanade, as well as provide better conditions for our native flora and fauna. These observations led her to initiate development of the Ad Hoc Steering Committee of the Beach Bluffs Restoration Project in 2001. This group's effort led the development of native habitat restoration at several sites throughout the South Bay, along with stimulating Redondo Beach's ultimately successful application to improve the hardscape infrastructure along the Esplanade. Now, Joan Irvine has become well-known in Redondo Beach due to her work with Keep the Esplanade Beautiful. She was a member of the 2008 Leadership Redondo class. She is a chamber member and wedding officiant. Joan has had a varied and successful career in sales, marketing, technology, and association management. She previously worked for L'Oreal, ADP, and Bell Labs. She headed two international online child protection associations and has over 20 years of advocacy in public and governmental affairs in Los Angeles, Sacramento, Washington, D.C., the European Union, and Australia. It is this background that she brings to Keep the Esplanade Beautiful group. So, Joe, this morning we're going to learn what it takes, what exactly it takes to keep the Esplanade beautiful, and we're also going to hear about some upcoming community events. Joan, Ann, Jeff, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank
you. It's a pleasure and honor to be here.
We're so thrilled to have you because it really is an important topic. I mean, Jeff, I hope you have some statistics for me because I know that we get hundreds of thousands of visitors a year to the beaches, to generally to the coasts every year here in Southern California. Give us a sense of the scale of hospitality that we have to contend with.
Well, I don't have the numbers memorized, but I know that our Esplanade and our pier area are visited by an incredible amount of people. And not only visitors, but, you know, it's one of the communities where the residents themselves get out and they like to exercise. They go for walks with their dogs. They it's a very, very social area and attracts, again, not just visitors, but the residents themselves. You know, a lot of areas, you don't have people getting out, you know, out of their home too often, but here in Redondo, it's frequent, and that's one of the great things about the area is how social it is, and we really get to know our neighbors and everything. It's a lot of fun.
I think one of the key observations that our friends, relatives and friends from Texas notice when they come to visit us here is how often we leave the house. My wife's sister often said, "Why do you guys leave the house so often?" And I say, "Well, Californians don't spend a lot of time at home. We're always going somewhere."
Yeah, we need to get out. We need to be out.
Yes.
Well, not only, yes, I agree with that. And actually, my father-in-law lives in Texas. One of the differences of Texas versus certainly Redondo Beach is that, you know, every house there has to have an air conditioner.
Right.
And it's so warm and humid. Whereas here, some people have an air conditioner, but I don't think too many ever really use it. I mean, the weather, you know, extent of the humid, though, that's a huge advantage.
Huge advantage. And, Ann, I just have a quick question for you. What's wrong with ice plant?
Oh, okay. A fellow I've worked with calls it ecological styrofoam. In other words, our local flora and fauna just can't coexist in that stuff. We actually did a serious scientific study and found a host of native butterflies, more than one, including our endangered El Segundo blue, and lizards and birds using the area, and in the ice plant, we didn't find anything other than the ice plant. So the deal is typical with any invasive from another country or another continent. It has no local enemies, and so it takes over everything. You know, down there by Veterans Park, where it grew over the steps, just right. completely covered it. Nobody knew there was concrete steps underneath the ice plant.
Right.
So when you bring in native plants, you bring in more color, and you help the local flora and fauna, which is really how I got started with this. I had a question. Could we humans bring back some of nature within our city? And I think we can.
Now, I think some people are aware of this, but I think the larger audience would love to hear, what is the El Segundo blue butterfly?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. We actually have a chance this coming Sunday where I will be doing a butterfly walk down there on the beach bluffs, meeting at the Vista Del Mar Park, right at the southern end of the Esplanade. And if we're lucky, it's going to be a little bit cloudy and overcast, but if we're lucky, we'll actually see those little butterflies. I call them bouncy bounces because they're teeny tiny, and you can spot them just bouncing around their favorite plant, which is the sea cliff buckwheat. I'll have handouts so people can at least get pictures so they can see what they look like in a close-up photo, as well as, if we're lucky, we'll get to see some of them. There are a few places in the world where you can park your car, walk across the sidewalk, and see a federally listed endangered butterfly. And the El Segundo blue butterfly was the first insect to be listed under the Endangered Species Act way back in 1976. So we have a really special thing going on in our own backyard. It's pretty exciting, and when I'm down there and I start talking to people when they're in flight, they get excited. Everybody really enjoys it, and I'll also talk about the native habitat that supports this butterfly and the other species.
The habitat for the El Segundo blue is just that coastal range from the sand and inland. How far inland?
You know, I'll have a handout showing the exact perimeters of the butterfly's original habitat, but it extends from Bologna Creek down to Point Vicente. So Point Vicente, you know, it's been confined to the beaches because we built everywhere else. You know, wherever we drive, wherever our houses are, in Torrance, in Redondo Beach, Hermosa, Manhattan, El Segundo, Inglewood, parts of Torrance, that's where the butterfly lived, but we built on it and we took away their homes. So, but it has persisted along the beaches and along the cliff bluffs faces of the Palos Verdes Peninsula. So it's hanging on. And what's really cool, which I find amazing, is if you put in its favorite plant, the sea cliff buckwheat, and a couple of other native plants, the butterflies will find it and use it. It's just they don't need much. They just need their what they call a host plant, where mama butterfly will only lay her eggs on the sea cliff buckwheat that she likes. When we redid the restoration down there on Redondo, I call it the Redondo Bluffs because it's the bluff part, but, you know, it's down there at the Esplanade.
Yeah.
The experts did not predict the butterfly was going to find it because they had done experiments and said, hey, it doesn't fly that far. Well, Mother Nature has other plans. They don't, first of all, they don't listen to what the animals don't listen to what humans say. And there's a population of the butterflies down there on in Malaga Cove, and they found the site in Torrance, and then they moved to the site in Redondo Beach, and voila. Now Redondo Beach has an endangered butterfly. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who's responsible for trying to get all these different endangered animals and plants off the endangered species list, they're absolutely delighted with the fact that the butterflies did it themselves.
I find it fascinating, and I think everyone should really learn more about it. And it's a federally protected endangered species right here in Redondo
right here.
Beach.
It's fantastic. Isn't that wild? Park your car, walk across the street, and there they are. Now, here's the funny thing. The adult butterflies do not fly very much. They basically, I like to call it between Memorial Day weekend and 4th of July.
Yeah.
And that's your best time to see them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Very specific.
You know something, and I remember when that restoration, the Bluffs Restoration Project was started. I was so excited about that. And Joe, I don't know if you remember this, but the whole hillside above, like, you know, Torrance Beach and Redondo Beach, it was all covered in ice plant.
All right.
There wasn't anything mm-hmm. else there. It was all ice plant. And there was no life down there. I remember when that restoration was done, within just a couple of weeks, walking my dog along there, I saw lizards running, which I had never seen before.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Scared the crap out of me.
Oh, the lizards have way more reason to be scared.
No, I'm walking, all of a sudden this thing darts across. I was like, oh my God, what was that?
Joan, this is exciting. I mean, for many reasons, but tell us about the genesis, the beginning of this group. This group called it's Keep the Esplanade Beautiful. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a very interesting background. What was happening is that although with all the work that was being done on the Esplanade, it just wasn't being kept up to the conditions that it really should be for such a beautiful resource. And I used to go to, for what, about 8 or 9 years ago, I was going to my district meetings when Steve Aspel was the District 1 city council person. And everybody would complain. Once a month at 9 o'clock in the morning, we'd go to the meeting, and I can tell you almost everybody complained about the condition of the Esplanade and, let me put it in this way, the poop on the Esplanade. Mm-hmm. And what was happening after a few years, and I was one of the ones who complained. And when Jeff became our District 1 person and I went to his meeting, I looked and I said, we've been complaining about the same thing for the last, you know, 3 years or 5 years. And I said, let's either do something about it or not talk about it, because there's many other things that we need to be addressing. So we decided that the quickest way to do something would be to start a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And it was a way to engage the community to make a difference and to educate the community. So that was 3.5 years ago. We initially started off calling it Dog Owners Don't Poop and Urinate on Our Esplanade. And we were told that was too negative.
Negative.
It was a negative. It was true, but a negative. So we renamed it to Keep the Esplanade Beautiful. And we started engaging people. And then we started also working with Public Works Department to find out what they were doing to keep the Esplanade beautiful. Because everybody would also complain it's not being cleaned up enough. They're not picking up the trash enough. They're not. And so what we found out was the schedule from Public Works of when Athens Services should be picking up the trash, when they were, how often they were cleaning the Esplanade, how they were cleaning the Esplanade. And that's really how it started. And the Public Works gave us the information. We would put the information back out on the Facebook group so people knew what was going on. And then we realized we needed to do more to get the information out. So that one of the good things was to really start a program. So one of the programs we started is to adopt a block. So we are encouraging people, and soon we'll be talking to businesses about just cleaning up after, you know, their own block. Because I hate to say we can clean it as all, and the city can clean it all the time, but there's still people who just leave trash there. There's still people occasionally, dog owners who leave, their poop there. You know, you still have the issue of the urination on the stone, and that takes cleaning. People who smoke down there are leaving their cigarette butts there. So it's just about engaging community, and let's just pick it up. and make this look beautiful for ourselves and for the visitors who come here. And then from there, we talked about doing a brochure so we could educate people on the Esplanade. And very kindly, Athens Services paid for the brochure, and our group put it together. Village Runner has the T-shirts that they're selling at cost at their store, Keep the Esplanade Beautiful, and now they're doing hats. So it's really about, you know, getting out there more visible, getting more people engaged. We're going to be at – so that's kind of the genesis of it. And all of a sudden you start to look and you say, oh, what else can we be doing, you know, to keep the Esplanade beautiful? You know, and so there's always more things that can be done.
Well, it's very easy to find. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful. You just type it in Facebook and do a search, and boom, it comes up. Public group with 662 members,
mm-hmm.
and it's very easy to join the group. You just click on the green button, and. Joan,
Joe, I just wanted to mention, you know, when the city began work on the Esplanade, you know, when they were started the hardscape and all that, this was after the Bluffs restoration. Gosh, I was so excited about it because, you know, I always thought this is the greatest stretch of beach in the South Bay, and it always looks so run down. So anyway, the city just did a great job. And I'm sure Jeff can explain in a minute, you know, where they got the money to do that. And but they did such a beautiful job of beautification on it. But it's amazing how quickly it will deteriorate if you're just not on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the dogs are only one issue, but you know, people throw their gum on the ground and draw. It's amazing to me how quickly you build something. It's beautiful. It's new. It's clean, and within a week, it could be completely trashed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work.
Now, Jeff, you're on the city council. Everybody wants to talk about money, and we will talk about money. But I have to ask you though, Jeff, how much money does it save to install LEDs? Because I don't know if most people are aware, but the United States Navy is responsible for tens of thousands of light bulbs on vessels and in their facilities around the world, the United States Navy. And every single light bulb and light fixture has been replaced with LEDs on all U.S. subs and surface ships throughout the Navy, because LEDs are such a huge energy saver. So how much money does that save the city?
Well, it saves the city quite a bit of money each year. The interesting thing about it is back when I was on the Public Works Commission is, you know, I already knew that LEDs were a no-brainer. I actually have quite a bit of knowledge of electronics and everything. And back in the 80s, I said to myself, why are there these incandescent light bulbs? We should all be LED. Back in the 80s, I was thinking along those lines. It was like everyone thought I was crazy. But when I got into the Public Works Commission and I saw that there were these grant funds, back in those days, there were more rebate funds things. I said, guys, we need to go to LEDs. And, you know, again, it's not a high priority, you know. And I did all the math and I'm like, guys, we're going to save thousands of dollars doing this. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. And then finally when the rebates and everything, it'll pay for itself within a year, you know. It's amazing, you know. Then everyone started to listen, and we got the program started, and boom, it was amazing. So then what happened was after we did our first phase, and we got our rebate check, then the city was like, well, what do we do with the rebate funds? And I said, why don't we buy more LEDs and replace more of them? and they went ahead and did that. So anyhow, bottom line is we all the city-owned streetlights now are LED, and our electric costs are way, way, way down. It's totally paid for itself. And the interesting thing, if you ever notice, when you're in a plane, look down at Redondo Beach, at least that would, you know, now that other cities gotten into it. But back about 3-4 years ago, if you look down at Redondo Beach from your plane, it was a lot. It was not bright like, you know, all the other cities were all this glowing lights, because LED is very directional light. So it goes pretty much in one direction, the direction it's pointed in. So it's very efficient in that the light that comes out of those bulbs goes in the direction you want it to, instead of blooming being this incredible amount of light that you see from planes and everything. But that aside, an LED light will, unless something happens to it, gets hit by something or whatever, its lifespan is at least about 10 years.
Right.
So when you add in in addition to the electrical savings, that now you don't have to run out there every year and a half to 2 years to replace the bulbs like the old system,
right,
the labor and cost alone for that also are huge savings.
You've got reduced labor costs, and people are going to have to write down, how did I replace that light bulb? I don't remember. No one's ever replaced it before.
I'd like to add another thing.
Yes.
This is another example of doing something for nature within our city. With that single directional source of light, there's no wasted light and money going up into the sky. Mm-hmm. But the birds, especially those that hunt at night, mm-hmm, aren't blinded by our lights with the LEDs, because you, by just making sure that the light only goes to where it's supposed to, either, you know, showing a car the green and red lights or going straight down to light the streets.
Yes, it is. It directional lighting, the LED is a revolution, and it's sweeping across, cities and towns haphazardly. But, of course, the U.S. military, they make a decision, and it comes down from on high, and then everybody follows orders, and it just gets done.
Right.
But you can't just make people do things, can you, Jeff?
No,
make people do things.
In terms of LEDs, we'll save money. Everyone should replace all their bulbs with LEDs. But no, you can't just make people do things.
Well, in the cities, I've got to convince two other council members to go along with my idea, or it's not going to happen, kind of thing. So it was an easy sell once I had all the numbers and facts and everything together. But it did take a little while to do all that. But the end result now is very good. And one last thing that's really cool about LEDs, which I didn't anticipate in the very beginning, is the light is white light. So or at least in Redondo, the LEDs we chose is white light.
Right.
The advantage with that is when the light is on at night, colors are not distorted like the old lighting, which used to be yellow. And so your reds and your greens actually show up as reds and greens at night, as opposed to in the past when lights were on, the street lights were on, all the colors change.
Right.
And that was something that was pointed out to me by a resident somewhere along the way. I was like, I never thought about that before, but that makes perfect sense. So just kind of interesting.
Now, Jeff, as a city councilman for District 1, you had been a big part of getting the money for the Esplanade. I think Jackie asked the question, how did the money come about? How does that happen, the money to do these beautification projects and so forth? Where does the money come from?
Well, actually, the Esplanade project originally was before my time. That was during Mayor Aspel was the council member during that time. So he's actually the one that spearheaded going after the grant programs for Esplanade. I don't remember all the details, but I do know it was a large grant, and it was based upon it being a pedestrian-oriented area, and there were all those qualifications for that. And, you know, before the Esplanade project was done, it was just a long, street, with two lanes, it's just one of those situations where there's nothing really spectacular about it. Mm-hmm. Other than the view, of course. The view is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But the grant funds and everything went into making the crosswalks a lot safer. They've got bull belts. So there's areas which there's now some landscaping in and some decorative art that was not there before. We've got a beautiful sidewalk on the beach side. We've got a wall that you can sit on and see the view. It's very pedestrian oriented as compared to before, which was primarily just for cars. And it had a sidewalk, but it wasn't spectacular. Now it's splendid, as the Esplanade translated from Spanish to English is. It's a splendid walkway over there. It's incredible. And anybody who has not been on the new Esplanade really needs to check it out. I think they'll be impressed.
Absolutely.
And that's
a
good break for us to take our station and commercial break, Joe.
All right. Well, Joan, we'll be right back to you after the break. Everyone, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about the Esplanade in Redondo Beach and the group Keep the Esplanade Beautiful. You can find them on Facebook. Just type in Keep the Esplanade Beautiful, and that group has been a key asset to the city and to the residents to organize the efforts to keep it beautiful. And also, we've been talking about the El Segundo blue butterfly, a federally protected endangered species, right here in the South Bay, in Redondo and Torrance, and El Segundo, of course. And we're going to talk about a lot more things. And if you'd like to call in and you have a question or a comment, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And, of course, we'd also like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All righty, we're back. Someone's listening to the show in the background.
I'm hearing an echo.
Yeah. Or maybe they have a family member listening. But we can hear that. Joan, what is the next phase for Keep the Esplanade Beautiful? What's the next phase for the group?
Well, the next phase, first of all, we've been working with, as I said, with Public Works, and we talk to them about what kind of equipment, what needs to be done to keep it cleaner. And in fact, if people go to the Keep the Esplanade Beautiful page on Facebook, one of our core members, Mike Cassell, put up a picture that Public Works Department is actually checking out new equipment this morning on the Esplanade that might be able to make it easier to clean it so that they can clean it more often. Because right now they have to like hand clean the whole thing. They have power washers and this and that, but they have to pretty much hand clean it because they have to reclaim all the water. So just this morning, Public Works is out there seeing, you know, what kind of machines could be used there so they can clean more often. So that's really a big success for us because it's a, you know, as somebody said, if you have a Bentley, you know, you don't clean it once a month. Mm-hmm. You know, you clean it at least once a week, if not more often. Mm-hmm. So that is a big success. You know, the other things that are going on, you know, Anne on this Sunday at 10 a.m. is doing the tour. Then, as I said, we're having the Keep the Esplanade. We're going to be at the Riviera Village Festival, which is June 25th and 26th. We're going to have a booth there. We're going to have a booth at July 4th run.
Right.
Also, we're working with the Riviera Village Association, where we're resurrecting the Second Sunday Sweeps. So that is like a group of people cleaning up both the village and the Esplanade. We're going to be doing that from July to September. So we're looking if people are interested or if there's a service group to contact us via Facebook. Also, what we talked about Adopt a Block. What we're also looking at doing is we're expanding out. Since the Esplanade represents so many facets of our city, we're looking for people to join the core group. To take a, so like with Anne, she takes a look at, you know, from the foliage and the environment. We're going to have somebody from the Beach City Health Districts from their Blue Zone group that's going to be on the core group because the Esplanade is a perfect example of what the Blue Zone is all about. It's a place where people meet and talk. It's a place where people exercise. It's a place where people connect with their neighbors. They commune with nature. It's just that perfect example. So they're going to be on our group, a core group, to help direct what we do next. We are also, Mike Cassell from our group is writing up a brochure on dog etiquette on the Esplanade. So we want to make sure that people, you know, have dogs, know the etiquette, because we want to be able to, you know, share it with, you know, the Esplanade, people walk their dogs there. And it's one of the few places they can do that, you know, in the city, because dogs are not allowed in the parks and in Redondo Beach. So if you have dog etiquette, then people will be, you know, more careful about picking up, you know, their dog, what their dog does, and, you know, making sure people feel comfortable with the other dogs around them. So we're also doing that. We are taking a look. We're looking at possibly trying to get some more public art on the Esplanade. So it's really engaging all aspects of the city. This little mile, it's amazing that how much effort it takes to engage people for this, you know, the mile that goes from the Miramar Park down to Knob Hill, even though it extends to, actually, it extends down to Veterans Park. But in that mile, how many people are engaged in this project? And we're also trying to get it when more people are and more people will, you know, pick up trash. We're also talking to the city about, since there are municipal codes about not picking up trash, we're going to be talking with the police department to have them, you know, be out more visible, especially on some weekends, to let people know that, hey, these, you know, these are municipal codes and you shouldn't, you know, leave trash and you, you know, you shouldn't leave your cigarette butts and you shouldn't ride bikes on the actual sidewalk of the Esplanade.
Now, have questions or ideas come up about maybe having like a few designated patches of greenery for dogs to have comfort breaks or?
We have actually looked at that and talked to Public Works about that. And that one of the issues is that they took a look at on the ocean side of the sitting wall, as we call it, Redondo only owns 18 inches of that. And then it's owned by the rest of it is the LA County.
Right.
And they looked at putting a dog path there, and they had actually budgeted the city $20,000 to investigate this. And it turns out it just wasn't going to be possible for several reasons. One of the reasons is that, first of all, it was going to be the cost was going to be absolutely outrageous. Plus, if they actually made it into a path for the dogs, they would have had to change a little bit of the configuration of the Esplanade, and then they would have been, this sounds terrible, liable because it would have to be accessible for disabled people, that adds to the cost, and
the
they didn't do it correctly.
Path would
no,
need
the dog path, yeah, because people are walking their dogs there, and if you make it official, then you have to make it ADA compliant.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. So people think that they go, well, why don't you just do this? And the city, when they investigate this in Public Works, they have to look at all the laws. And, you know, these are things that we don't think of.
Right. Right. No, those are not things that I would normally think of, that a dog path needs to be ADA compliant. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to remind people of the nine principles of Blue Zones. We mention Blue Zones, and every time we mention it, I try to find those principles and remind people that, you know, if you want to live longer, several regions around the world have been studied, and these principles have been found to be common. Move naturally, which means get out of your car and walk every day. Right outlook. Know your purpose and downshift. It's very simple. Just have something else to do during your day besides work, and chase kids and chase animals. And eat wisely. 80% rule. Plant slant. Basically, the largest mass in your diet should be plants. Wine at 5. It's more important than just the wine and any kind of resveratrol or anything in the wine. It's connecting with others and spending time with others and enjoying people around you. Wine at 5. Family first. Belong and right tribe. So those last three are all about relationships. And that's how you live long. So, Jeff, we've talked a little bit about the Esplanade itself, and Joan was very good at laying out, you know, the sort of the future efforts for keep the Esplanade beautiful. Are there any things that you'd like to highlight that we still have yet to do, Jeff?
Well, I mean, on the north part of Esplanade, we're actually going to be finally doing the resurfacing. That's been a section of it that we did not do originally on the portion because there was all sorts of utility infrastructure that needed to be upgraded, which has been almost completed at this point. So I know that the folks living on the north section of Esplanade are going to be very, very happy that they're going to have beautiful new asphalt streets, and you know, all the lines will be repainted. Everything's going to be new over there, and I believe that project will be started in the next 2.5 to 3 months. So that'll be a big change on the north side of it. On the south side of Esplanade, we are going to have some wayfinding signage that directs people to the very, very close by Riviera Village, which is from Esplanade is about a 2-minute walk, and Riviera Village is where there's all sorts of restaurants, shops, and things that people who are on the Esplanade or down at the beach can go and have a meal, have lunch, get a drink, go shopping. Visitors Yeah, that's one of the things that we learned a while ago is, you know, we got all these thousands and thousands of people at the beach, and but there's nothing obvious down there that explains that the Riviera Village exists. And unless you live here and know that, you wouldn't know to go from the beach and walk up 2 minutes and go to a restaurant. And so anyhow, that's those are some of the things that will be happening soon, and were part of our budget this last time around, and we will be seeing some additional signage in the near distant future.
That is so huge. I think that the residents or the business owners there are going to be very excited about that.
Yes, that's something. I know also the Riviera Village Business Improvement District has had meetings with the county, and one of the things the county has down at the beaches, which a lot of people may not realize, is their trash cans are actually advertising capable, and they can be wrapped with advertising. And so something that BID has been talking about with the county, because that's a county-run program, is wrapping the ones at least on the south of the pier with information, again, that tells people that the Riviera Village exists, and that they just need to go up the ramp or up the stairs and to get to the village. So these are things that are hopefully going to be happening soon.
Anne, I want to get back to our natural environment. As a marine biologist, what do you see in terms of progress that we've made and some of the things that we still have to do to coexist with our natural world a little bit better here?
Well, I think the first one is we need to get more people aware of our local flora and fauna. And in the paradigm with what we've been doing is basically building English gardens in our yard with the grasses and the flowerers and all that. And this is not what our climate is capable of supporting. You know, we've had this terrible shortage of water. And if we can get people to be a little bit more familiar with what naturally occurs, and maybe, you know, like every third or fourth or fifth house, planting a little bit of native plant, we could go a long way to changing what the butterflies, the insects are amazing when you plant a native garden, and the birds that will visit your yard. That's one of the things, now that I'm retired, I'm hoping to be able to do is bring a little bit more knowledge to our local citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe, it's so interesting. I thought, you know, that I've been wanting to get rid of my front yard for years.
Right.
I mean, I have a lawn and I have rose bushes. It's very pretty, but it's very labor intensive and it takes a lot of water.
Right.
And it just came to me. Lawns are completely useless. They serve no purpose and they're not found in nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely man-made.
Yeah. Well, you know, lawns are good for parks. And if you have little kids, they're good for them to run around because, you know, children need to do that. But there's a lot of areas in our local landscape that we can put in native. So, Jackie, I'm more than happy to visit your house and we can discuss possibilities. Now, I'm not a landscaper, and I barely can keep up with the gardening in my yard, but I can at least give you some ideas.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we're going to get something done here. Normally we have Bobby Christian call in from the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau, and Bobby hasn't called in yet. It's so unusual.
That is unusual.
Yeah.
It's Bobby. Bobby, if you're listening, why aren't you calling in?
He's so prompt.
I know.
Maybe he went down to try and find those butterflies.
He may have.
A federally.
That means we got more time to. We have more time to talk then.
That's true. Jeff. You know, we've covered a lot of ground. What are some of the initiatives that you are working towards, Jeff, that perhaps don't have anything to do with the Esplanade?
Well, you know, some people have heard about the new outdoor dining in the Riviera Village. We have a pilot program that's going on right now, and it's the first ever in Redondo Beach where a business has branched out into the, you know, the right-of-way where you drive on Catalina. It's been protected. You know, some people are worried that, oh, it's going to be dangerous because the car might go out of control. No, it's got solid concrete surrounding it and everything. So, you know, the barricades like you see on the freeways are, you know. So if a car did go out of control, people who are dining there are actually better protected than someone who was just walking on the street, reality. Mm-hmm. But the outdoor dining, it's a pilot program. If it actually, it's going to be about a 12-month program, and they'll analyze if there's complaints and, you know, and there's the complaints and the praise. I mean, I've heard mostly positive stuff, although there have been a handful of people who said, you know, we don't want any changes, you know, to the village. We like it the way it is, that kind of thing. But most of the people who have commented to me have had a positive thing, or they didn't understand it. You know, there were several that were like, oh, it's dangerous. People are going to be killed and all that kind of thing. And when I actually met a few out there and showed them the way it was built when they saw it, they said, forget it. Everything I said, you're right. This is totally safe. And sometimes it just takes education kind of thing. You know, and so it's one of those things, if it's a successful pilot program, then they will open the door for other restaurants down the street to be able to do the same thing. And you'll see more and more outdoor dining encouraged in the Riviera Village, which it's a pedestrian-oriented area, so it really makes a lot of sense kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, again, if it's a successful program, then we will look at narrowing the street. We've talked about, although it's not anything decided yet, about the possibility of converting it to a one-way street between Avenue I and either Elena or PV Boulevard, depending on what the traffic experts tell us. But by narrowing the street, you not only allow for more outdoor dining, but you also slow down traffic in a natural manner, because a more narrow a street is, people naturally drive slower. And in a pedestrian-oriented area, you want people driving slower. So you know, it's a very, very win-win situation if you look at it from, you know, all the aspects that I've
seen. So that would be one way going south.
That's correct. That's been the recommendations I've heard of.
Sure.
But again, the thing is the pilot program, we didn't invest the money into analyzing everything, because if the pilot program were not successful, we wouldn't have wanted to throw, you know, thousands of dollars into analysis of something that wasn't going to happen. So anyhow, if the pilot program is successful, then yes, we'll concentrate on that, and we'll come up with an official plan.
No, that all sounds so logical, because, you know, one way going south, that's the entree of people coming from the freeway or coming from other communities into the Riviera. That's natural. And then if you're going north,
right,
you know where you're going, and you can easily, you know, go along the side streets to go north. So that's easy.
I'm making a prediction here. Boy, oh boy, you just stepped into Jeff. People are going to be screaming
about what?
about a one-way street. Oh my.
Oh.
Joe, you know that people don't like change. I mean, we deal with it every single day. People do not like change. And putting in a one-way street, people are going to be up in arms. I'm just giving you fair warning. I love the idea. I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. But
Jackie, we've already discussed it at some council meetings and at my community meeting. And yes, you're right. There are some people that don't want any change whatsoever, and those same people would rather not have any outdoor dining and not have any changes occur at all. But I would say the majority of people who I've spoken to, and you can certainly tell by looking at how many people, I mean, there's usually a line of people trying to get to the outdoor dining because it's so popular.
It is.
Most people who experience that come back like, that was very nice. We need,
you know,
more of that. So
Jeff, you know, my husband. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, all I'm saying is it's easy to say something is bad until you've actually checked it out. And I encourage people who don't want to see anything change, they actually go out and personally witness how it is. And I think that most of the people who see that, if they like a social environment, if they're into that kind of thing, that they will see that this is a positive thing for the Riviera Village.
Oh, I agree. And let's give a shout out to the new place that we're talking about, Rebel Republic. I've eaten there a couple of times now. The food is fantastic. Their patio is fantastic. They've got now outdoor seating. My husband and I were there for lunch a couple of weekends ago, and I think they've got something like seating for like 50 outdoors, outside. And that's not including
right.
the interior. They've
right.
got a huge interior and a big bar, and the food's terrific. The food's terrific. If you haven't been there yet, go check it out.
I think I will.
Summer outside, eating outside in the Riviera Village. That sounds like heaven.
Yep.
Yes, it's very nice. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, Joan, we've had a wonderful discussion. Are there any other notes and any other things you want to make sure members of Keep the Esplanade Beautiful should be aware of?
Well, one thing I wanted to say is that we, in April, we had our first community mixer so people could meet each other face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a perfect example of what a group of people can do if they work positively with the city to make change.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we're noted for is we don't allow people just to get on Keep the Esplanade Beautiful and complain. If there's an issue, we want you to talk about what you think the solution is and then to take responsibility for that issue. And that is something unique that's not happening as much, I hate to say, in our world. And because of that effort, the city of Redondo Beach and the California State Assembly member David Hadley both gave us letters of recognition for our group and community effort. And that, to me, was extremely excited when you're getting your government officials, you know, they recognize what you're contributing to the city, you know, as just as residents, and that we work with the city. As I said, we don't go and complain and this and that. We go in and say, here's an issue. How do we handle it? What can we do?
So we can't
working
just,
together.
We can't just go on to the group and say, throw the bums out.
No.
Okay.
We want it to be positive. And also, we keep the group just about Keep the Esplanade Beautiful. It's non-political, and that's, you know, there's lots of other things going on in the city, but that is not our group is not about what everything is going on in the city. It's what's going on the Esplanade.
Okay. It's been a very positive hour that we've been talking. And
let's get some quick contact info.
Yes. So, Joan, I'll start with you. Contact info?
They can contact me at joan@joanirvineconsulting.com.
Okay.
Joan. And they can also contact me on Facebook at Joan Irvine.
Okay. And Anne, how do people get in touch with you?
You know, similar thing. They can... I have a Facebook page, a personal one. My email address is abdalkey@verizon.net. And also you could raise a question on the Keep the Esplanade Beautiful Facebook page.
Okay. And Jeff Ginsberg, how do we get in touch with you?
My email address to the city is jeff@redondo.org. And one last thing I did mention about the Riviera Village is starting in July, the farmers market will be moving from Avenue I to the triangle parking adjacent to Trader Joe's. It'll allow for about double the size of the farmers market. It's going to be on the Sunday. It's going to be on Sundays, and basically it's the farmer's market that used to be up on TV is coming to the Riviera Village. And so we're all excited about that change and looking forward to and that'll be on mornings of Sundays every week.
Okay. Fantastic. A Sunday farmer's market. Actually, that sounds like a wonderful day to have a farmer's market. Thank you so much.
Yes, a lot of thought went into it.
Thank you so much, Jeff Ginsburg and Ann Delphi and Joan Irvine. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
What a wonderful discussion we've had. And, of course, we will see all of you tomorrow for South Bay Spotlight. We'll see
you there. We're going to be talking about the El Segundo Art Walk, and we're going to be giving away another wristband to the PV Street Fair.
Yes. So giveaways tomorrow. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show.
This year, AT&T is giving one person some back-to-school swag with the Ultimate Samsung Swag Bag. Loaded with the Galaxy S6 smartphone, Level U headset, Gear S2 watch, and Gear virtual reality. Stop by a participating AT&T store and snap a pic of the things you think give you the most back-to-school swag. Then post the pic to Twitter or Instagram with hashtag BTSSwagSweepsLA or upload it to BTSSwagBag.com. No purchase necessary. Visit BTSSwagBag.com for rules, full sweepstakes details, and the list of participating stores. This year, AT&T is giving one person some back-to-school swag with the Ultimate Samsung Swag Bag. Loaded with the Galaxy S6 smartphone, Level U headset, Gear S2 watch, and Gear virtual reality. Stop by a participating AT&T store and snap a pic of the things you think give you the most back-to-school swag. Then post the pic to Twitter or Instagram with hashtag BTSSwagSweepsLA or upload it to BTSSwagBag.com. No purchase necessary. Visit BTSSwagBag.com for rules, full sweepstakes details, and the list to participating stores.